Planta on the Line program here at thecommentary.ca. Canadian wine is literally on the map with a new book called The Wine Atlas of Canada, The Indispensable Guide. Its author, Tony Aspler, is one of Canada's most highly regarded and widely read wine writers. For 21 years, he was the Toronto Star's wine columnist and has previously written 11 books on food and wine. He writes for Harper's, Wine Spectator, Tidings, and he appears regularly on Toronto radio station 680 News. The book, published by Random House, which features a foreword by John Ralston Saul and photography by Stephen Elphick, is Canada's first ever wine atlas, exploring our wine regions from coast to coast, offering up suggestions of where to go, what to taste, and how to experience the countless domestic wine varieties the country proudly boasts. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Tony Aspler. Good morning, Mr. Aspler.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Did you drink wine every day?
Yes, whether I need to or not. I mean, I taste, you know, upwards of 4,000 wines a year. Not only Canadian wines, but wines from around the world, because, I have to keep up with what's happening in wine regions, you know, globally.
So your recycling box must be full each week.
Yeah, people actually inspect my blue box, and my neighbors really are delighted because I take an inch off the top of a bottle and then cork it and just hand it around to my neighbors.
Really? Now, talk to me about the popularity of wine compared to, well, in this country at least, compared to other alcoholic beverages like beer or spirits.
Yeah. Well, beer, of course, is the Canadian drink. However, for the first time in Canadian history, sales of wine in dollar value have outstripped those of spirits. So it shows that we are becoming a wine-drinking nation, which is a good thing. I mean, wine is a very healthy beverage.
Are we drinking Canadian wine or wine from other countries?
In British Columbia, I think it's probably the province in the country where the consumer is most behind the wine industry. If you go into any restaurant in BC, you'll find an enormous amount of the local wine. It's not the same in Ontario or Quebec, which has 45 of its own wineries. But it is in Nova Scotia. In Ontario, you know, I live in Toronto, and we tend to drink more, you know, Italian wines, California wines, Australian and Chilean. I think I think we're about 40% Canadian wines. And when I say Canadian wines, I don't mean only VQA, the Vintners Quality Alliance, which is, of course, the Canadian appellation, which means 100% Canadian grown grapes. But it is wines that are also blended with offshore material. So if you're looking for the local product grown in Ontario, BC, or you have to look for the VQA symbol.
So is that an actual organization, I guess?
It's like the French Appellation d'Origine Contrôlée or the Italian DOC, Denominazione d'Origine Controllata. So it is basically a set of regulations that set minimum standards for the wines.
Now, talk to me about the quality of wine in this country. Is it better? You were started at the Star, I guess, in 81.
Mm-hmm.
Has the quality of wine in Canada, has that improved?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, when I started, the wine, there were very few wines that you could drink with pleasure coming out of Canadian wineries. Today, we are winning gold medals around the world, not only for ice wine, but for our Chardonnays and Cabernet Sauvignons and Shirazes. I think that certainly the reds that are coming from the southern Okanagan, you know, around Osoyoos and Oliver, are some of the best red wines made in Canada. And the whites in Ontario, the Chardonnay and the Riesling, I think these are really good wines. And I think we have a lot to be proud of in our wine industry.
What do you think accounts for that? Is that just experience or is that just better?
Certainly in Ontario there were three reasons. There were, first of all, free trade in 1988, and the same thing happened in British Columbia. That is that the tariffs against imports were taken off, which meant that the wine industry was no longer protected and had to grow better grapes, so that there was a pull-out program. The grapes that were not making good wine had to go, planting good vinifera, you know, the Chardonnays, the Rieslings, the Cabernets, etc. Then there was a change in the Wine Content Act that year, 88, in Ontario, which meant you could not use Labrusca varieties, the native North American variety, like Concord, Niagara grapes, you know, grapes that had a foxy flavor. It's okay for baby duck and things like that, but not good for good table wines. And then the third thing was the introduction of the VQA in 88, which was the Vintners Quality Alliance, the appellation system for Canada, which set sort of basic minimum standards for the quality of the wines.
Well, you travel around the world extensively. How does Canadian wine stack up in other countries?
Well, very, very well. I mean, if you, for instance, if you put a BC Chardonnay or an Ontario Chardonnay up against a Chardonnay from France, a Chablis, for example, in certain of the producers, it will show very well. I mean, we have nothing to be ashamed about or to apologize about our wine industry. For years, unfortunately, there was this sort of vestigial notion that, you know, Canadian wines could not be as good as wines that came from Italy, France, Germany, etc. But that's not the case any longer.
In terms of price, how does it stack up with other countries and other wines?
Well, this is one of the contentious issues, that making wine in Canada is an expensive business. We don't have the luxury of the economies of scale that you get in California or in Australia or in Chile. And, of course, our climate is such that we don't get the same kind of style of wine. We're basically a cool climate growing country, which means we have to look to the wines of Northern Europe as our models or our yardstick. The wines of the Loire Valley, the wines of Burgundy and Bordeaux, the wines of Northern Italy. We can't compare our wines with those of California, Australia, and Chile because of the difference of sunshine hours and ripeness that they can get from their grapes.
Now, you mentioned earlier in terms of price. What do you see in the future for Canadian wine producers? Will it become more profitable, do you think? Do you think they'll make better wine?
I think they'll certainly make better wine. The problem is that the growing number of wineries, when I handed in my manuscript, I had a call that day from Dave Gamble, who publishes a newsletter on wine, Canadian Grapes to Wine, and he said there's a new winery just opened up in the southern Okanagan called Oliver Twist Estate. And I hadn't gotten it in the book, but I managed to sort of shoehorn it in as a sort of future winery with an address. I Googled it, and it came up on a page of licenses pending for BC wineries, wineries that would open within the next year, and there were 25 of them. There is a huge number. There's already about 130 wineries in BC. And I just wonder who is going to be drinking all this wine. The pie is only so large. And unless Canadian consumers begin to drink more wine, or the wineries can export their products, I think there's going to be a problem.
I'm talking with Tony Aspler, Canada's foremost wine expert, the author of a new book, The Wine Atlas of Canada, The Indispensable Guide, $60, published by Random House. In terms of consumers, and you see them in restaurants and wine tastings and so on, do you think that people today are more savvier in Canada?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a time when people would go into a restaurant or a bar and order a glass of red wine or a glass of white wine. Now they're ordering by varietal. You know, they say what they want, a glass of Sauvignon Blanc, or they want a glass of, unoaked Chardonnay. So certainly there is, probably why? Because of the sudden growth of the sommelier system. Years ago, restaurants in Canada did not have sommeliers. Today, we've got trained sommeliers working the floors, and these are young men and women who are educating the consumer, helping them make their wine purchase, and generally adding to the pleasure of dining out because they're picking good wines to match the food that people are buying.
wineries in Canada, and you write about them, you have pictures of them, you describe them in the book, you have their addresses, websites, if any. These make for a good place for people to visit, I guess, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, wine tourism is becoming a big thing. Agritourism, of actually driving down to wine country, whether it's down into the Okanagan or the Similkameen valleys or to the Fraser Valley, or taking the boat across to the islands, you know, Vancouver Island and the other Saturna, other islands. There's a lot of wineries opening up on the islands, or in Ontario, or Quebec, or Nova Scotia. This is a big thing, and it's always a great thing to actually visit the winery and to taste the wine where it's made, and you can understand it a lot better. You can see the vineyards and why they produce the style of wine they do.
And I remember I read somewhere that you said that wine is best tasted when you're tasting it in front of the person who makes it, I guess.
Yes. Well, I mean, this, you know, wine tastes better, you know, in the presence of the winemaker. Well, I guess it's Canadian civility. We're always prepared to, you know, give the benefit of the doubt. If you buy a wine, you know, and you bring it home and you taste it, it might not be as pleasant an experience as it is when you're actually tasting it with the winemaker, whether he's pulling it out of the barrel or just pouring you a glass from a newly opened bottle.
And there is a culture to it, to visiting a winery, that there's, I guess, tasting, and sometimes it's free. And then you can buy wine there as well, can you?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the best way. I mean, if you walk into a liquor store and you see an array of labels and you don't know what, you know, what do you, how are you going to choose? So if you actually go to a winery and sample three or four of the products, you get a sense of the style of the wines. And also, when you're tasting comparatively, which is the best way to taste, you know, if you have two or three glasses, and you'll see what your palate really appreciates best. And, you know, it's not a big investment just, you know, to try a glass of wine at a winery. Some of them are free, some of them are charging these days, but it's always the best way to make your decision as to what you should purchase.
Is there the best time of the year to go visit wineries across the country? Let's say in British Columbia, for example.
Yeah, I mean, the most fun time is to watch the harvest, you know, which is sort of September, October. But it's also, you have to realize, the busiest time for the winery, so they might not be able to spend as much time with you, and the winemaker will be busy. But I like to go in sort of the shoulder seasons, that is, you know, after the harvest, you know, in October, November, or in the sort of May, June. And, you know, the thing is that if you look at the book, you'll find maps, and you can see the proximity of the wineries to each other, and you can gauge, you know, what kind of visit you want. And I also actually suggest, if you have a day in wine country, where you should go. If you have a weekend, you know, the kind of tour that will take in the best of that region.
And wine is, I guess, produced across the country, is it?
Well, it's produced in all but the prairie provinces. So you've got it in British Columbia, you have it in Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic provinces. I mean, there's even a winery on Prince Edward Island.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, is it in the prairie, pardon my ignorance, is it because of weather, I guess?
It's weather, yes. It's either too hot or too cold, you know, in the different seasons. And, you know, that's wheat country. Basically, you'll need an area where there are ameliorating factors, like large bodies of water. However, with global warming, who knows? You know, there
really
it might be that you'll be able to grow wine in Alberta.
The winemaker themselves, they seem to be personalities unto themselves. Some of the people in British Columbia that you think are the real, I would say, groundbreakers in mm-hmm. British Columbia, who are they?
Well, I think the province owes a great debt to Harry McWaters, the founder of Sumac Ridge, and who was the guiding light in bringing the VQA, the Vintners Quality Alliance, to British Columbia in 1990. And then you get real characters like Ian McVitie at Blue Mountain, and some of the guys at La Friends, Jeff Martin, the Poplar Grove, Tinhorn Creek. There's some wonderful small wineries, and some really good wineries like Cedar Creek is one of my favorites in terms of the quality of wines they make across the board. Mission Hill, which is a real magnet. You know, have you visited Mission Hill?
No.
Oh, well, that's really something that draws people into the Okanagan. It's really a staggering investment. I think there's about $35 million went into creating that winery. So it does draw people into the valley, which is a good thing.
Now, I'm interested, Tony, why you wrote this book and who you wrote this book for. It is a very handsome book, beautiful photographs. You know,
yes,
the writing is great as well.
Thank you. The photography was done by Stephen Elphick, who is, to my mind, the best wine photographer in Canada, and he traveled with me, and we had a great time. It took 2 years to put together this book. But as far as whom did I write it for, I wrote it for as a sort of paean of praise for the Canadian winemaker who has a lot of courage and passion to do what he or she does in the kind of climate that we have. I wrote it for the consumer who wants to know and understand the industry and wants to be able to travel around and visit the wineries. And I wrote it also for those other wine enthusiasts abroad who were curious and who didn't think that Canada could make wine.
Well, Tony, thanks so much for joining us today and continued good luck with this book.
Thank you, Joseph.
It's a very good-looking book and a great coffee table book or a gift for the holidays. People should pick it up. It's called The Wine Atlas of Canada, The Indispensable Guide from Random House.